The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Now, you're very welcome back to The Last Word. Frank Graney here filling in on the show for Matt Cooper this week. And our next guest has written a fantastic book called The Nine, which follows the true story of her great aunt, who led a band of nine female resistance fighters as they escaped a German forced labour camp. Gwen Strauss, a good evening to you.
Hi, good evening.
Gwen, I was going to begin by asking you what inspired you to write this book, but it seems to me, especially after listening to that intro, that it was a story that simply had to be told, especially given your familial link to it. Tell us about your great aunt, because that's where this project began for you.
Yes, in fact, in a way, it was a secret. She didn't talk about the war or about what she had done during the war until very late in her life. And I happened to be with her at a lunch. My grandmother invited me to lunch with my tante Hélène, and they were quite close, the two of them. And suddenly Hélène started to tell me this amazing story about how she had escaped from a labor camp with eight other women. At the time, I vaguely knew that she had been in the resistance. She had won quite high honors. She had medals, you know, the Légion d'honneur, officier de Légion d'honneur and all. But I had no idea that she had been in a concentration camp, that she'd been to Ravensbrück, deported there, and had absolutely no idea about this escape. So it was kind of a surprise discovering that story. And I asked her if I could come back a few days later and record it, which I did with my other aunt. And then in a weird way, the story was left there for a long time because I had other things to do and I had children, young children. And then slowly it kept haunting me. And what happened was I started to stumble on other women in the group, a few of the other women in the group who had written accounts. There were one woman wrote an account that was published several years after I recorded my aunt. She was already dead. She had written it 60 years earlier, but it was published posthumously. And after reading it, I asked my aunt, is this the same story? And she confirmed it. So that helped, that published version helped a lot because it gave me some names, not their full names, but just their first names. And then I continued to, you know, search, and it really didn't come back to the story until 2017, when I started to feel a kind of urgency that I had to write it and find out more. I had to actually figure out who the women were and what actually happened.
Yeah, I was going to say it must have been an enormous body of work to take on, because I suppose given the amount of time that had passed, you know, there were probably a lot of gaps that you had to fill in from listening to your great aunt tell this remarkable story. Can you tell us how this motley crew of sorts got together? How old were they, and what were their backgrounds?
Yes, what's kind of astonishing is they were really young. They were in their 20s. Some of them had been arrested as young as 21. They met in the camps mostly. My aunt, when she was deported to Ravensbrück, when she arrived, she recognized one other person from her lycée, Zaza, who's the woman who wrote the book I found several years later. So they immediately stuck together. Then there were two Dutch girls or Dutch women who had come to Paris to join the resistance and were arrested almost immediately. They stepped right into a trap because the Dutch resistance group had been betrayed. And then the others kind of met in camp in Ravensbrück. And then later they were deported to the slave labor camp in Leipzig. And that's where they really formed a group of friends, a tight-knit group of friends. They were all resistance fighters of some form or the other, some level or another, but only two of them were Jewish, which they kept hidden. They were arrested as political prisoners, as résistants.
Okay, and they were ultimately captured, as you say, and they found themselves being tortured by the Gestapo. How did they escape? And tell us about some of the adventures that they had then as they trekked across Europe.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. At least I think so. So they were arrested in different places in France and sometimes by the French police and sometimes by the Gestapo. Ultimately, they end up getting deported in 1944. All of them one was deported a little bit earlier, but basically they all end up in Ravensbrück around the same time. And then they're sent to this labor camp. And that's where they start to really work together. My aunt, was really, she was an engineer, she was a mathematician and a chemist, and she spoke five languages fluently. So she got very involved in sabotaging the factory where they were sent to work. They were sent to work at an ammunition factory to make Panzerfaust, which were like these bazookas, and their shoulder, you know, rocket-held grenade launchers on the shoulder. She was able to tamper with the forges so that the temperature would go way down in the middle of the making the shells, and so they would crack and break upon use. And the women were quite solidaire in the camps. They did a lot of things to try to fight back and sabotage the production of arms. They were able to finally escape during the last days of the life of the factory, when they were sent out on a death march. It's in April of 1945. And
just to tell our listeners, what was the death march?
Oh, sorry. So near the end, as Germany is sort of collapsing and being invaded on one side by the Russians and on the other side by the Americans, they were trying to empty out their concentration camps and labor camps, trying to save the slave labor. Perhaps there's, you know, no one knows exactly what the reasons were, but they would throw these prisoners out onto the roads and march them to unknown destinations. It had already happened with Auschwitz when the Russians had come. They had emptied out Auschwitz, and those people had been marched into Germany to Buchenwald and other camps. And now they were trying to do the same thing, but it was sort of chaotic. So all of these different labor camps and concentration camps were being emptied out, and these people were sort of thrown onto the roads with no plan or food or provisions, and, you know, already desperately ill and sick and worn out. And this was an incredibly dangerous time. Many people died on these death marches. Some say 33% of the survivors died in this last month of the war during this time.
And this was the opportunity your great aunt and the eight others managed to take the opportunity then to escape.
Yeah, I think what they realized, I mean, I know they realized that they had one choice. They either had to escape or die trying. They realized there was nothing, that the end was going to be shot in a field somewhere, which is really what happened to many of the people on these marches. So they found, they had planned to escape at night, but there was one day in the march that was very disorganized and there was no guards in sight, and they took their opportunity and they jumped into a ditch and pretended to be a pile of corpses. There had been so many piles of corpses along the roads that nobody noticed. And the marchers continued on, and once they were gone, they started to go in the opposite direction, trying to find the American soldiers. So then they start walking across. They're in the middle of Saxony, Germany. There's Russians coming from one side. They hope they can find the Americans, who are rumored to be not far away. But there is also retreating SS, who are really angry and violent and brutal. And there's scared villagers everywhere, and they're starving and they're exhausted. So they have to figure out how to find the Americans without being caught again or killed.
Do you have any idea?
A lot of things happened to them.
It sounds like quite the adventure, and thankfully, certainly for your great aunt, she did make it home alive.
Yes.
Do you have any idea? Did you ask her why she had kept it a secret for so long?
That's such an interesting question. I think a lot of the women didn't talk about it after the war. There was a little bit of a taboo about these young women who were in the resistance. Partly the French didn't want to talk about women in the resistance because they wanted, well, de Gaulle even said the men had been so humiliated, the women needed to stand back and let the men take the glory. So they really downplayed the role that women played in the resistance. And the other thing is that these women were really young, and there was a kind of unspoken joke about them. They weren't taken seriously. There was even sort of the insinuation that they were just prostitutes or kind of loose girls. Marriages were called off when it was discovered a woman was a camp survivor. It wasn't, also the thing to understand is that Paris was liberated a long time. It was liberated in August of 44, and these women were imprisoned and weren't actually liberated until a year later. So by the time they get back to Paris or to France, people don't want to talk about it anymore. You know, they've moved on, and they're kind of told to be quiet and keep it to themselves and move on with life and look to the future. And I think that women were also a little bit protective of their children. They didn't want to burden them with these stories, so they held them in. It's kind of tragic because I think in that way, a lot of the trauma was then passed on, non-verbally almost,
And obviously their heroics at the time wouldn't have been celebrated. And finally, you've explained your thoughts on why you think your great aunt and others kept this to themselves for so long. But do you have any idea why she eventually shared the story with you? Do you think that she felt as she was, reaching the latter stages of her life, that she wanted her story and the stories of her friends to be told?
Absolutely. I think it's actually something that's been documented over and over again, that these survivors of these terrible traumas often late in their lives feel finally ready to speak about it, partly because they don't want it to be forgotten. And I think there was a feeling that they, not only did they, it wasn't so much that they wanted to tell about their own glory, but they wanted to honor the women who had actually died and not let their deaths be in vain. They felt a kind of duty towards that. And I think in France, it really happened. There started to be much more women speaking up around the time there started to be more Holocaust deniers. That really enraged some of the women who felt like, oh no, I can't just stay quiet and let this story be told in this way. And all these women who actually did die will then, be completely forgotten.
Well, it's a remarkable story, and your great aunt couldn't have picked a better person to tell it. Gwen Strauss, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's a fascinating story. It's called The Nine, How a Band of Daring Resistance Women Escaped from Nazi Germany.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.